is Controlled Chaos with your hosts, Liz and Allie.
I'm Liz, the writer.
And I'm Allie, the publicist.
We are your quintessential 40-something besties who dive headfirst into all things pop culture.
Think motherhood, relationships, hot stories taking over your newsfeed, and of course, the latest gripping true crime mysteries.
This is Controlled Chaos, your much-needed weekly pop culture juice.
Drink up! Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of
Controlled Chaos.
All right, so today we're going to continue the conversations around sexual assaults and keep things really light over here, because we know this is what we find interesting and upsetting, and we know you guys do too, because everyone does.
Well, it's just kind of mind-blowing how many of the topics are just going there right now. And today we're going to talk about a topic that actually kind of really messes to my core, because it's about Nickelodeon. And if you are, I guess I'm an old millennial technically, but if you are anywhere born in the 80s, especially the early 80s, like we, Allie and I are, Nickelodeon was my entire childhood, you guys. It shaped a lot of me. I just loved it. I loved it. I wanted to be on the show. I wanted to be slimed, all of that. So if you haven't seen this Nickelodeon documentary where it's just a lot of, you know, sexual abuse and just psychological abuse by Dan Schneider.
So I was really talking about the documentary called Quiet on Set, which was, of course,
Quiet on the Set.
And all about Nickelodeon. It centers around the toxic environment that was built by Dan Schneider. It's got toxicity, female discrimination, sexual abuse, abuse of power. I mean, you name it. And it's very quite obvious that this is all real and happened. These are not allegations at this point. I mean,
not to judge a book by its cover, because I'm not saying we do that, but I mean, Dan Schneider just looks like a guy who hangs out in his basement and like watches. I mean, he looks like a basement.
Looks like he jerks off all over the walls, and like
he does. He looks like a total beat off Billy down there. Like I labeled the guy, but like, he just look at him. He's just like this creepy. I don't know. I know he was talented in all these shows, blah, 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 but I'm like, he just has this very creepy old look to him.
Well, I think the whole issue too with all of this is it so teeters on this gray line of like gross dares, sexual innuendos, like dangerous stuff.
Oh
like
my gosh, you guys.
I'm in the shrimps in the mouth, the testing of the boundaries. It's a gray zone. And it's like, now it looks awful. But at the time,
I didn't know. I didn't even know. I was just thinking about that. Like the pickle guy, I remember these skits. Okay. I wanted to like be on all that. I wanted to be on the Amanda Show. I wanted to be the Liz Show. And the pickle thing in the hole, that's a glory hole. But I know what a glory hole was when I was, you know, 8 or whatever I was watching this. Like, you don't know that stuff. But to look back at it now as an adult, like you said, like the spraying on the face and the glory hole stuff, I'm like, that is sick. It's obvious what he's doing.
I think Dan Schneider like had sort of this like sick sexual sense of humor. And I can understand like kids, like, you know, preteens, tweens, etc., they do find, you know, that kind of humor. It can be funny, like mommy and daddy kissing. Ew, kissing. Like, I get that can have like an allure. And so I can understand how other like writers, producers, like how all the executives like let all these things pass. So if you just took all the other stuff away and it was just Dan Schneider being a little creepy on set and like massaging the girls and doing stuff like that. But if that was just it, I'd be like, okay, this guy clearly did wrong. He didn't.
I agree. But obviously that was not just it. No. But I think there is a way though to do those types of things where it's, I love a kid show or a children's book with a little bit of adult humor. That's right. Smart. That's clever. There's a way to do that. Like Shrek. Shrek's an example. Okay. Shrek has maybe some jokes that like we know what they mean, but they're not so explicit. I think there's a very, very savvy way to do it. And I love when that's done well. But this was.
Well, and you're talking about an animated cartoon with this is real.
Absolutely. No, these are real people. I just mean
young
that, like,
people, right?
If like, he wanted to do some adult humor or like he could have, but this was done very, it was disgusting what he was doing. It's not tasteful. He was using these kids as like sexual props in a way.
If the kid, it would be different if like the parents were doing it and like the kid, there's so many.
Like that kid, that one kid who talks about that bodysuit he would had to be in. It was like the tan, but same, but no, it was the same color as the skin. Like we have to get a black bodysuit because he's a black kid. It was just very like
discriminatory.
Wrong. Yeah. I mean, the discriminatory. I mean, it's just so wrong. These exploitation. I mean, I know there's a lot of that that goes on when you're a child star, but this stuff was like some sexual based stuff. It was very, very, very creepy and weird. And then Dan Schneider, you know, the favorites he played. I mean, so Amanda Bynes, we need to talk about her. So she was, yeah, we were just talking, Allie and I, before this, like, you kind of forget when you, until you see this, like, how talented she really was. Like, right. She was doing, like, these stand-ups at, like, 8, 9 years old. She was very funny and, like, very, I mean, I definitely see what he saw in her as far as, like, a young talent. And she was. I mean, the Amanda Show was very popular. She was incredibly good.
Yeah.
But their relationship was very close, and she hasn't commented on any of this as far as I know. But
she doesn't comment on anything regarding
no, her. She doesn't. She's but
a different person now.
And but he sort of made her career. He found her, he discovered her, he launched her. Amanda Show was the start of everything, and then she became like this big star. And now she's,
but I could also say that her talent made his career because she was so talented, right? Double-edged sword.
He had proven to be a cash cow for Nickelodeon, I think, already at that point. But yes, Amanda was, you're right, Amanda was kind of his backbone cash cow.
And let's also remember he did Kenan and Kel's show, that which was a big one after all that. He did the Amanda Bynes show, and he did Drake and Josh, which those had
Drake,
Drake Bell, poor guy. I mean,
that guy's really, that guy's come out of a lot of stuff. It's just,
I believe that. I know.
Where's Dan Schneider now? Where's he hiding? I mean, like, we don't know. Like, he's addressed it, but
he has. His first addressing of this years ago was like, I would like basically denial, but now he switched gears. His most recent statement basically said that he would never do those things now, and he's so terribly sorry. And so I think a lot of the actors that were in, even in the documentary and just in general, feel it's a cop out, because it's like, oh, now you're apologizing.
It is
a cop out. I think for me, what was worse, so yes, he did really weird gray zone, horrible things, and definitely should have been ousted years before, and never should have been able to work on more kids shows. To me, what was even worse was not just Brian Peck, who, you know, was arrested and this whole horrible thing happened with Drake Bell. But do you remember that Jason Handy,
No, Jason was sick. Jason had like a bunch of child porn.
Troves of child.
Yeah, Jason was like super gross. And like, so I just saw that episode recently with that girl Haley, and like how he had like Ziploc bags and these girls' underwear. Like, this guy was, whoa, like, makes me feel sick to my stomach.
I know.
Like, disgusting. And can you imagine being a mom? I mean, this mother's interview, it's so relatable, because it's like, you're excited. Your daughter, who's like this talented girl, gets on the show, and you're like, you're so excited. She's a Nickelodeon. I mean, I can tell you, I wanted to be this kid. I would have begged my mom to put me on any of these shows, but like, and like being excited for your child to be on it, and then finding something like that out. I mean, I would never get over the guilt. I would never not feel awful. I would feel like I did this to my child. Imagine the guilt she's sitting with. And this other mom said the same thing with her son, the one who's in that bodysuit. She was like, some of these things really rubbed me the wrong way, and I wanted to say something, but I was afraid that he would be treated differently on set or not get the roles he wanted. So you're walking this line of like, I want to support my child. This is what he or she wants, but also protect them. Like, oh, what a nightmare. It makes me, their life's a problem. It makes me never want to put my child in any sort of acting thing ever. I mean, it's just terrible.
This goes back to like all these other cases we've talked about. Like, we just talked about Diddy, you know, if I come out, if I say something, what are the repercussions?
The responsibility and guilt you feel over that. I mean, it's just, you want to make your child happy, but at what expense?
Imagine that mom had said something and the kid gets ousted the next day and then regret, and then never talks to his mom again.
Probably would have. I mean, the guy even said that Dan Schneider kind of was just like, well, it wasn't interested in him anymore. And everyone, like, you watch the show, like, everyone wanted Dan Schneider. Everyone wanted to be on his good side, you guys, which is like
the power.
Make the career.
You could make it famous. Give you your own show.
Yes. And the guy was just
the abusive power. It's always about the abuse of power. The massages on set were not because his shoulders hurt him. The massages on set were to show, you're my minion. You do what I say. I put you here. I wrote that line for you. He's even been quoted to say things. I can torture these kids if I want to. I can make them do whatever they want. And by the way, he said his sole job all of these years was to keep kids glued to the TV screen, which, by the way, how fucked up is that? What kid?
It is kind of fucked up. Honestly, it is. But like,
and we all were.
No, but I mean, that was what I was going to say. I was, you guys. I mean, Nickelodeon.
Every Friday, right?
Everything. I mean, everything. Nickelodeon, SNICK, all of it. I mean, it was
TGIF. Like, yep, all of them.
It was like, we didn't have phones. We barely had internet. But when it came to Nickelodeon, I was just like this. like could not get enough, would not get enough. And that's why I think some of this like really shook me to my core. I'm like,
and I love that people want to say like, you know, you see the Amanda Bynes spiraling or like, let's say Britney Spears spiraling. Oh, too much fame. Oh, that has nothing to do with it. It's not the fame. It's the paparazzi. It's the people that are in power that are abusing their power. And it's the people that are destroying these young adult brains' lives. Like they don't, their brains are still developing.
Yeah. Amanda Bynes was like, what, 9, 8? I mean, she was a child.
And super talented, but still a child. We can't forget how she portrayed herself regardless. She was still a child.
Child, like not even a teenager yet, child.
And supposedly the relationship with Dan is what, I think you said this, what caused her emancipation, like kind of like,
that was really interesting to me. And then when this one writer's comment, I mean, not just the kids guys, the writers on this show, you know, one of them sued Dan, apparently like wouldn't let them even like, one of them like keeled over in the writing rooms. You see that episode? Like they had no breaks. They were like, weren't eating or drinking anything. Like she had to pee and like passed out basically.
What about female writers sharing a salary and how that became like a whole thing?
Yes, it's disgusting. So what I thought that was really interesting though, that Dan, which is super inappropriate, you guys, like that right there, the fact that he was even involved in the emancipation from her parents shows how blurred his lines were. Like that, like, no, that has nothing to do with you. But like, that alone proves that like everything else is true, in my opinion. It proves it all because I'm like, why are you even involved? He was sort of pushing her to do it and like helping her with it. Like, it's disgusting. I mean, it's really just awful. I mean, and now I understand like, you know, her relationship with her parents, but now I get where that rooted from, you know? Like,
I mean, we can speculate, obviously. We have no idea what's going on behind closed
doors. It looks like, but
it's true. Imagine. Yeah.
But that's where things started to change because she was becoming this big star. He kind of pushed her into it. She obviously idolized this guy because he made her famous. I mean, to me, it's open and shut case. Like, that's what happened. Like,
I find it interesting though. There's like a few people that haven't come out to say anything yet. For instance, like Ariana Grande, I don't think has done anything.
And, he hasn't said anything now,
right? And
neither has Jamie Lynn, right? Or like,
well, who the hell wants to hear from Jamie Lynn anyway?
No, I mean, I can't say her, but I'm just saying, like, she's another one who's like stay quiet. Yeah. And all this,
but yeah,
she got enough stuff to work through.
She does. She does have a lot of stuff. But yeah, Ariana Grande hasn't said anything. And then also surprising to me, who has such a public voice and is still so big on screen on SNL, Kenan Thompson hasn't said anything. And he
hasn't said a thing.
On all but that. And he had Kenan and Kel. And Dan did both those shows.
I mean, he became comedian-wise probably the most famous of all of them. I mean, not like the most famous, but he's about SNL. Isn't he right now the longest-running SNL cast member? Yes.
Yeah, he can't seem to find his space outside. I know he started a TV show and that didn't really go anywhere. But like,
yeah, it never really.
Yeah.
Yeah, he never really found it. But
probably arguably like the most famous from that
comedian for sure. He's been at SNL for
and that didn't like break down or have like a mental breakdown or have, you know, like he
was been on there forever. Yeah, nothing from him. That's interesting.
There's a lot of them that have. I mean, and let's talk about Amanda Bynes a little bit more. I think like what happened, like why. Because she didn't really do anything that bad. Like, it's so stupid if you look at, like, some of the paparazzi stories. It's like, the stuff that she was caught for wasn't even that serious. But yeah, and she put a tattoo on her face. Like, who cares? So many people.
What happened was, like you said, in her formative years, when she was not just, I mean, I'm talking, like, 8 or 9 years old. I mean, that's, the child's an understanding. I mean, she's not even close. She's not even a tween. She is a child. And in those formative years, who knows what the hell was going on with her and Dan? We already know that was a toxic environment. She was formed in the wrong way. She was formed wrong, and now like the aftermath and her, I know she became famous, but then she kind of had this pause in her career. I mean, the poor girl had no chance to be normal, and that sucks because she was like this bubbly, wonderful, like talented girl, and now she's just,
she even had a couple good movies in her like late teens, you know, like she was like really starting to kill it. I felt like she had a movie with Channing Tatum. She's had a few really cute movies, and then she did.
But I just think when your psychological abuse happens that young, I mean, we can say that, we know that for sure. I mean, maybe we don't know anything happened, whatever, but so psychological abuse did take place in her life at a young age and formed through that. I don't know how she would ever turn out without some issues.
It's so crazy to me because when you think of like psychological abuse and physical abuse, to me, just physical abuse seems so much worse because you're like physically in pain.
It's not worse at all. I'd rather someone punch me in the face than mess with my brain. brain. Like, I mean, I would.
Brain, it can have longer term effects and be more difficult to repair.
It affects your entire life. It's a whole, I could go on and on. I've seen that. I've known people like that. I'm close to people like that. Parenting, how you were raised. I just reiterate again, it makes all the difference in your life, all the difference, because those things, that's your normal. So that normal stays with you forever. Then you just pass it down. It is mind blowing how true it is. I didn't even know how much that was true until I had my own kids. And it's just because you see yourself becoming your parent. Like, you take things from your own parents you like or you don't like. But imagine Amanda, and how she was formed. I mean, it's how you're formed. I keep going back to that word, but it's just how you're built. So how you're built, if that's your normal is completely. And even as an adult, you can be in an emotional abusive relationship, know what your normal is. And that's how powerful emotional abuse is. Your normal can still get off kilter. Like, wait, is it me? Did I do this wrong? It's just nuts.
Can be like slowly forming too. So you, like, a year goes by and all of a sudden you're like, I'm so different from a year ago, but you didn't even realize that whole transition.
You don't know, but you know when you're hit in the face, you know when you have a bruise, you know when something like that happens. It's so much more black and white, black and blue, but it's black and white to know what happens to you.
So someone like Dan Schneider, like, are we going to assume then, like, because I don't think I read anything about like him having like a bad upbringing. So like, why?
No, we don't know much about his upbringing. I don't know, something.
What? All just money.
And maybe he, well, I don't know. Maybe he was like this unpopular kid and like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not speculating, but.
But you might be right. Maybe it has to do with like something with
unpopular. Sometimes that can be like what power becomes to someone. If like.
Bullied and now you're the bullier, you know?
Yes. That's exactly it. If people were like ambivalent to you or you were bullied and then you finally find yourself in this position, then you become the bully. You want to take that power back, and that's how you do it. I mean, it roots from all different things. It's not, and again, that's not even all from your parents. But it is part of your childhood, your upbringing, something that happened to you.
I just read here that he was in theater and he was senior class president. Doesn't sound like he was that unpopular.
All right. Well, then I don't know. He's a bad melon. Sometimes that happens. You get a bad melon in a batch. But
You know what? I forgot that he started off as an actor. Remember he was in the
Head of the Class? Yeah, I remember that.
Weird. And you know what else is kind of crazy is that he's married and
she have kids.
He only left the network in 2018. That is crazy that they kept
him. No, I know. Oh my gosh, I know. It's very recent.
Okay. He's been married for over 2 decades. They met while working at the network at Nickelodeon. She was a former showrunner. What a surprise.
She hasn't left him now? She's still with him?
Apparently. She's famous in her own right. She's the founder of Hungry Girl, a food brand. Interesting. I don't want to buy that anymore. He has 4 children, including 1 biological daughter, 27-year-old, who he shares with his ex-wife. He has an ex-wife. And then he has daughters with his from a previous relationship. Huh, interesting.
So he's got kids. He's married someone for a long time. And
he did leave Nick because of misconduct allegations. I mean,
he was class president. Yeah.
I mean, sums it all up.
I mean, he was obviously talented, but he was a sicko. And to me, one look at that guy, screamed, like I said, beat up Billy. He's a basement Billy. He's a goober. You know that word? He just looks like a goober.
Yeah, can you imagine a goober coming behind you and putting it and being like, I'm massaging
him? Why are these girls even touching him? He's just a disgusting goober.
If you watch some videos of like him on iCarly set with the main actress from that show, like, and he gets like near her a couple times or like scares her, and you can see in her eyes, she's like, I fucking can't stand this guy.
He's a goober. Everything about him. You believed? I believed in cooties back then because, you know, I watched Nickelodeon. I mean, I think I gave myself the cootie shot every other day to make sure I was properly vaccinated. But he looks like a giant cootie. That's what he looks like.
Because he is the reason why of the humor.
Yeah.
Absolutely
loved everything Nickelodeon put out. That network was just everything to me. Like, it was part of it. So this has been, you know, I'm not surprised by a lot of it, but it doesn't mean it doesn't kind of shake what you thought was, you talk about shaking your own reality, what you thought was real.
Right. Like when you saw this doc come out, my jaw didn't drop. I wasn't like,
That's what's saying. It's not even,
of course
it's not, which is sad that we're like, that's not that scary, but it's also just like, wow, like these things, like these kids and this show I wanted to be on. I wanted to be like these kids. Yeah. Now I'm like, no, God, leave Moses.
This is why everyone says, don't put your kids in showbiz. They grow up too fast or exposed to things. I mean, look what Drew Barrymore went through.
I would never. I am not putting my kids in showbiz. I mean, this is just like, no. there's too much bad stuff right now. I just would not do it.
I know. It's one of those, again, double-edged swords. It's like, what if your kid, what if one of your daughters was just like an unbelievable actress from day one and just wanted to get in the door. And by the age of 8, you were like, we got to get this going.
I believe that she will be. She's super funny right now. I mean, honestly, she's only 19 months and she cracks me up, but I don't know.
So what if?
I'm going to have to go and be like, well, no, like I just can't. Be glued to her at every second. Like it's just gonna be one of the two. Like I'm never leaving her.
A lot of these parents say they were, but at some point, like, you know, I mean, look what happened to like those, you know, with the Michael Jackson stuff. And like it's like you want your imagine like the most famous person is saying, like, I want your child to come dance with me or act with me or be in my movies. I mean, this is literally what Diddy got away with. This is what Michael Jackson got with, what Harvey Weinstein got. It's what they all got away with.
I don't know. I would want to think I would support my children whatever they want to do, because of course I want to be that type of parent. But I gotta tell you, I don't think this is something I would want to put them in. I can already guarantee you their dad would be against it. He doesn't even want me to post them on social media, let alone if he would be into this. But I just think right now, after all, everything I've seen, not just this, everything going on right now, I just don't want my child anywhere around something like this. And your self-esteem damage that can happen there too. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it.
Yeah, being told you're not good enough, no, you need to lose
or
weight.
Your weight. Yeah, I don't want my children in this environment. I don't want that environment. I want them to be told how funny and great they are all the time. I don't want them anywhere where they're like just, I mean, I know that's not reality, but I don't want them.
You want them to be a narcissist.
Just want them to feel not criticized like that all the time. Like, I just don't want that.
I think we also pull from things from our childhood that we experience. So we automatically are like, what I experienced, I do not want you to ever experience. So you kind of go from 0 to 100. And sometimes I know I go like 2, you know, like I grew up in a fairly strict household with the curfews and things like that. And so like in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to, you know, be more laid back, but I know that's not the right way to do it either, because then I'm going to have a kid that probably rebels. And
I think sometimes you can try and go against, a lot of people face that, because go against so much what your parents try to do, but then some of it creeps back in because you can't help but go back to what's in your bones sometimes. But yeah. And then if you go too hard the other way, that can be a problem too.
You have to find a middle ground, right?
It's hard to find a middle ground. Absolutely. But yeah, these Nickelodeon parents, and I'm sure they are stuck with a lot of guilt. You guys should watch it if you haven't. And I mean, it's interesting. And if you watch Nickelodeon like we did, it's just kind of an eye-opening thing.
All these momagers have to be on the lookout. And now it's like, you know, the new wave of this is obviously like kid influencers and the momagers that are like managing like influencer accounts for their kids, putting makeup on and going to Sephora's and all these things. And yeah. That's a whole new world of.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is it, like being a child star now is kind of different.
Totally.
Because you don't ever have to step foot in a studio to do it now. You don't actually have to be around a Dan Schneider to be famous. You can be famous from your own phone, your own computer.
And look what happened with that case of what was that YouTuber mom, Ruby Frank?
Oh my God, I cannot.
They were talking about. But that's another example, right? She made her. She was making money off her YouTube channel and you exposing her children via that. And then
I've never wanted something so awful to happen to somebody as I do to this woman. Like, I want her to be in jail and like be physically hurt, and like I hate her. I can't, you know what, we're not even gonna talk about her, because I can't even do an episode on her, because I feel it makes every time I even hear her name I like hug my child. It's just the whole thing.
Of course, I mean, to profit off of a show that you created on YouTube where it looks like your children are having the best time of their life. I mean, there's little moments.
I like hear it and I like hug my daughters. I'm like, oh my god, it's so horrifying. But yes, and
of course she blames Satan and the devil, because who else would you blame? You'd never blame yourself.
Get out of here with that.
Blame that.
Get out of here with that shit. Oh my God. I hope I can't wait till your sexual.
Well, on that note,
I can't wait to put you in jail, Ruby. Anyway, I'm not.
I know.
Well,
there's just we're paying for them, right? In jail, our tax dollars are going. That's the worst part of it. Is like, and they're getting to eat real meals in jail, and maybe they're.
No, she's
gonna
have a shit life in jail, and I will be happily pay for that. Okay.
I hope she does have a shit life, but sometimes they don't.
No, people who do stuff to kids get it. They get it in jail. They get it. Yeah, they rightly so. Rightly so. Okay. If you fuck with kids, you need to fuck left and right in jail. And if my tax laws didn't go anywhere, then I hope they go to hurting her. She's terrible.
not to paying for her meals.
No. Yeah. Starve her. She starved her kids. She starved her.
Child.
Do everything. Exactly. You should do everything you did to her, do to her kids. Anyway, okay. It's a little off the topic of this, but Nickelodeon, 90s, Dan Schneider. We'll see what goes on. But I think it's pretty much like, that's probably all we're going to do. The Quiet on the Set is worth watching, though.
Yeah.
We have it.
Yeah, definitely worth watching. And I don't know that much more will come out because there's not much more to say. I mean, more of the stars like Drake Bell that come out now. But
more
like,
stars might comment on it, but I think that's probably the end of that. But the documentary is worth a watch.
I commend Drake Bell, too, for naming himself, because I know when he did initially filed all this and went to court, he was unnamed because he was a minor. But I commend him for coming out on TV.
Me too. He's been very...
Yeah, not an easy thing. Not an easy thing, right? Which is why many people don't. Shame, embarrassment.
Yes. Yep. And he's been like, he's laid it all out there more than anybody. So good for him.
All right. Well, that was this edition of Controlled Chaos. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next show. Okay. Have a good one.